Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right. Welcome back. And what a show. We got plenty to talk about. I hope you agree. It's been a little crazy. And there's so much that's not being covered in the mainstream media. Surprise, surprise. You know, those media stalwarts like Jim Acosta that we rely on for the truth, right? Jim Acosta, what a circus sideshow that guy is, right? Are you seeing the videos he's posting of himself? He's gone from being the journalist that's fighting for the people to where he's posting videos in his Ray-Bans next to a small section of fence in Texas, which probably amounts to what, like less than 0.01% of the total border space. And he's going, look, since I don't see any illegals crossing right here, what's Trump talking about? And this is like child's play.
He never even alludes to the fact that the wall could be contributing to the fact that there is no problem in that city.
Well, look, you don't build walls, you build bridges, right? You know the line. It's, you know, you got to think like one of these people. Jim Acosta, more like Jim Caustic, you know? That's what I'm going to start calling him, Jim Caustic. What a joke. You don't even have to be a conservative to not like the guy. We have so much stuff to talk about financially, and I'm already getting off course on Jim Acosta. And then the other one, Jim Caustic, excuse me. That's going to stick, I hope. And then they're my favorite, Ocasio-Cortez. She's in line for a banking regulator position. Are you seeing this? Have you seen that? Oh, this is just devolved into kabuki theater. I mean, it is just a joke. Ugh. You know, one of the problems with regulation in this country is the regulators have to be smarter than the people they're regulating. You know, if you're trying to keep a dog in your yard and the dog's smarter than you are, you got a problem, right? And this is a show about finance. And as a matter of fact, this is the most scintillating hour of finance radio. So I don't want to get off course here. But, you know, if we feel the need to. It's just lunacy. You look out in the world right now, it's absolute lunacy. The markets are absolutely no exception to it. So let's get right into it. Market update. Big rally, right? Everybody's really excited about it. You know, if you listen to the show before, you're probably not going to be surprised by this, but I'm not impressed. And I think we said that on the last show. You know, look forward. We could see some big rallies here. As a matter of fact, we had some hedges and some, you know, some things that go up when the market goes down. We had some hedges in our accounts and we held in there pretty good at the end of the year. And then because the selling pressure was so consistent there at the end of the year, we actually got rid of them on on Christmas Eve. And look, there is an aspect of luck to that. And I tell you guys this all the time. I'm going to give you the straight deal. Every trade we make, everything we do is not always right. Making the right move usually is research and skill and things like that. The timing of it is always tricky. You know, we got that one right. Thank goodness. That could have gone against us pretty hard. But here's the deal. Couple things. First of all, going back to the fall that we had there, and I'm trying to give you an update, but we got to set the background. We got to make sure that we're all, you know, working off the same terms, like terms, you know, so there's no confusion. So the drop that we had in December, one of the things that I find fascinating about it was the persistence. We didn't get any blow-off days of the Dow down 1,000 points or the S&P down 150. Now, we had some ugly days in there, but it was pretty uniform. And volume was high, and there was a good amount of conviction with most of that selling that occurred in December. One of the odd things about it, though, is the volatility stayed surprisingly subdued. And if you follow me on Twitter, which you can find it at KY Radio, you know your, or excuse me, at KYR Radio. I even screw up my own Twitter handle. We got to get a professional in here. This is just, you're supposed to be helping me out on this, Darren. at KYR Radio is a Twitter handle. And we talked, we are posting stuff about this during the middle of that decline in December and just saying, this is really odd volatility. Action. The VIX should be higher. When you see a 20% drop over that short a period of time, we would expect to see the VIX pop above 40. It never got above 35. I think maybe it peaked its head up to 36 or something like that. But even then, it was just very uniform. There was no panic. None. And when we so we started digging into this and looking at it, and what we realized was never before have the markets dropped that much over that short a period of time. And had volatility stayed so subdued. This is a classic sign of max complacency in markets. Okay? And let me just lay out a caveat here. We're going to talk about these different signs and bellwethers and all that kind of stuff. None of this stuff is 100%. But when we, as risk managers, because that's really what we are, right? As fiduciaries. We are risk managers, and when we're looking for periods of time when we feel like we need to be extra defensive, we've got indicators that we're watching. We've got things that we're looking at. And one of those things on our radar, and probably on every professional manager's radar, well, at least it should be, well, there's certainly some exceptions in there, and we'll talk about that later. But anyway, one of the things that we should be keeping an eye on is volatility. Because it's a measure of fear. It's a measure of conviction that tells us, you know, how bared up are people? Is this serious? Is there panic? And that indicator can work both ways. When we see volatility spike to 40 or 50, we can look at, you know, what the scenario is and sit there and go, look, I think this is overdone. It's probably a good opportunity to buy stocks. But when we see a drop like that, that's that persistent, that has that much volume confirmation, meaning this isn't a light volume move, you'd expect to see volatility a lot higher. Why wasn't it? And we don't know the answers. Nobody knows. It's complex markets. But usually what it points to is max complacency. And what I'm getting to here is that what this all looks like to me now, since then, the S&P now is up 11% basically in 2 weeks. Okay, we just had this V bottom bounce, right? Right off the bottom. Now, the funny thing about that is that volatility didn't really drop much either on the way up. As of right now, the VIX is sitting at 18.5, which I think is too low, but doesn't surprise me. But you have a run like that, and you'd expect to see the VIX now fall to 15. Well, what's going on here? Well, what I'm trying to get to is this looks like the perfect setup. This is, and again, we don't know for sure, but this looks like a bear market rally. And what I mean by that is, think of the up days we had. During, between Christmas and New Year's, we had days where the Dow was up 1,100 points. The volatility to the upside on the bounce back was much greater than the volatility on the drop. Right? Now, step back a little bit and think about that. Okay, so we went down and it was nasty and it was persistent, but the bounce back was even more violent, right? Now, take a step back and think about the old adage that we've said on this radio show many times, that markets take an escalator up and an elevator down. Well, that was not the case in December, right? The volatile moves were to the upside, the most volatile moves. And guys, that's what happens in a bear market. Now, I know it's been a decade since we've had one, but that's what happens in a bear market. Because in a bear market, that dynamic reverses. The trend is to the downside, and the sharp reversals are to the upside. We call them bear market rallies. One clever trader, it's been around forever, but they refer to it as a rip-your-face-off rally, right? Because the markets are dropping, guys get short, and then markets just rip to the upside. And they're painful. They'll blow you out if you're on the short side of it. And so what I'm saying with is I'm not buying this. Now, could we go high? Absolutely. Could we go back and test the all-time high? Sure. But what this all points to, and we're going to talk about this in the rest of the show. I alluded to the show on last week. If you want to put the blinders on and just say, oh, you know, it's we're charging ahead. It's a new day of greatness in America, blah, blah, blah. Be my guest. Look, I can't stop you. But we're just going to look at the facts, right? And again, remember, this isn't about timing markets. But I'm also going to go back and reference the interview that we did with Bill Fleckenstein here at the end of this last year. And all of those laws about not timing markets and all that kind of stuff that we've heard, remember, this isn't your parents' stock market. We've got a Federal Reserve that's got $4.2 trillion on their balance sheet. They're selling off $50 billion a month. We still have close to record interest rates. We've got record amounts of debt and leverage on corporate balance sheets. We've got consumers now that are leveraged to the hilt. We're coming off the lowest interest rates in history and the most indebted economy in history. Right? Nothing about the inputs to this economy are similar to what Jim Cramers of the world have experienced. And that's why I think they're blind to it. That's why I think they were blind to 2007, 2008. And we were sitting here doing a financial plan for my fantastic mother-in-law and father-in-law. She just retired from her job. Congratulations. And moving her 401k over to us. And we're running her through the same thing that we do with all of our clients. And we were looking at her returns. Now, she was in a 60-40 stock bond portfolio, and we're looking at her returns over the last 11 years and explaining to them why we do what we do. And that 60-40 bond portfolio had made about 5.01% over the last 11 years. Now, history would tell us, right? If you go speak to the financial advisor at Morgan Stanley and Edward Jones and all that kind of stuff, again, not denigrating those guys, great guys. But they're going to build you a financial plan and tell you that 60-40 portfolio should have averaged somewhere more like between 7-8.5%. Well, why didn't it? Well, the biggest culprit, guys, was the bonds. Right? What we've been trying to tell you about. What we've been trying to warn people about for 6 years now. 7 years. No, seven. Jeez. 2019. We started that bond replacement deal in 2012. Holy smokes. 7 years. So I've gone gray since we started talking about that. But anyway, now, the other thing that we saw happen that was really interesting is a microcosm of that underperformance that my mother-in-law experienced over the last 10, 11 years. It played out over the month of December as well. That 60-40 portfolio and a 20% market drop should have only been down maybe 9, 10%. On average, they were down somewhere between 13 and 14. Why? Because the bonds lost money too. And remember what your financial advisor told you. When stocks go up, when stocks go down, bonds go up. Not anymore. And as a matter of fact, we went back, and it wasn't our research, but we were researching it and ran into other people's research. As a matter of fact, it was Chris Artemis of Artemis Capital, which is a volatility hedge fund. And they went back and looked at the last 150 years, and they said that, look, when that correlation between stocks and bonds, it's actually only been present and real 30% of the time. And the biggest chunk of that time has occurred over the last 35 to 40 years, right? So that's what we all believe has to happen. But there's more time. There's a bigger sample size when that hasn't taken place. Like it hasn't for the last 10 years, like it didn't in December. And so these people are running around out there pitching these 60-40 portfolios, and they'll tell you, look, the stocks are our offense and the bonds are our defense. Well, I hate to break it to you, man, but your defense just got whipped at the same time your offense did. Markets are down 20% in a month and a half period of time, and you're telling me my defense lost 2, 3, 4% at the same period of time? What kind of defense is that? So, there. Look, if you didn't sell, great. This is a good little relief rally. But really what this is, and every rally from here on out, in my humble opinion, it's first and foremost, look, we're not, and again, we're not timing it. Right? It's not about trying to pick the times and all that. But what it does represent is that this is a phenomenal opportunity to change out your bond portfolio into our bond replacement program, which lowers your fees, guarantees you against loss, right? You're insured against loss, and gives you, you know, somewhere between 50 to 60% upside of the stock market, depending on the product. Now, those products have been averaging, you know, between 6 to 8% for most of our clients over the last 6, 7 years. And they've absolutely destroyed bond returns. And remember, we're taking less risk. None of them lost a penny during December. And they don't have any fees. Again, it's the dirtiest word in investing. I get it. Matter of fact, we were sitting down with my mother-in-law and she goes, I remember you telling me how bad annuities were. And I started laughing because I was like, you know, I bet the people on the radio don't believe me when I say that, but I do. Why are we using them as a bond replacement? Because they work better and they're cheaper and they're safer. I mean, it's that simple. Like I said, the caveat, there's bad products out there. There's bad anything out there. That's why it drives me nuts when anybody categorically dismisses anything. That's lazy. It's mentally lazy. What it really means is they haven't done their homework. Right? I mean, it's lazy. It's ridiculous. They go, oh, annuity's not an investment. And I go, well, you just happen to disagree with Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, the heads of Berkshire Hathaway. They've said that's nonsense. It's got a predictable return on it. The return exceeds inflation. That's the definition of investment. Now, what I don't think is an investment right now is bonds. Now, the other valuable part to this, and this is what I want you to understand. We're not making one-way bets here, right? The value to that product is that the likelihood that it outperforms bonds over any good period of time when interest rates are anywhere near this level is extremely likely. And if you don't believe me, go to Bulwark Capital Management's website and read the white paper put out by Roger Ibbotson, okay? Finance professor at Yale, runs a billion-dollar hedge fund. Worked with Milton Friedman at the Chicago School of Business. Now, you're not just believing some schmuck on the radio. Go read what he wrote about it at the end of 2016. And the beautiful thing about it is that when we go into periods like this where there's tons of uncertainty, and we're going to go down those bullet points and talk about that because really a lot more troubling economic news has come out this year or out this week in the face of this big equity rally, which is really funny to me. Again, classic sign of a bear market rally. Remember, when you have a bull market that's run this long, it dies slow because the muscle memory, the Pavlovian response of investors is to buy the dip. And they're ignoring the backdrop. They're ignoring the valuations, especially when you see the stocks that have gone up the most over this last little rally. But anyway, the beautiful thing about using that as a bond replacement is what it lets us do. If we've got a client in a 60-40 portfolio, and let's say we go 50-50 stocks and annuities. Okay, well, now you've got 50% exposure to equities instead of 60, so you're less exposed. You cut your fees in half because you're no longer paying fees on 100% of your money. You're only paying fees on the stock side of it, so you cut your fees in half. The annuity side of the portfolio, the fixed indexed annuity that we use, and again, don't go out and just buy a fixed indexed annuity. Okay. And I'm not saying that to gin up marketing for us. I'm saying it because there are bad ones out there, like everything else, right? We can't just look at it as a blanket statement. But the fixed index side of the annuity is safer than the bonds, right? Because it's guaranteed not to lose. It's insured against loss. Can't lose. Cannot go down. It has no fees. Period. End of story. Right? So you've gotten safer. You've cut your fees in half. And if we're wrong, if the markets are going to continue this rally to the upside, great. You're going to make significantly more money than you were in your previous portfolio, even though you're less exposed to risk. See, therein lies the beauty of it. And it's worked like a gem for our clients. So if that interests you, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can go to the Bulwark website. You can go to knowyourriskradio.com, which links to the Bulwark website. And just look, you don't have to call us, but if you want to, 866-779-RISK, you can talk to me directly. We can do a portfolio review over the phone. If you don't feel comfortable talking, which I understand, right? It's just a guy on the radio. You don't want to get, you know, hamstrung or shoehorned into some sales process, which we don't do. But we can sit there and show you the returns. Just sit there and go, look what this has done compared to what you've done. And here's the risk exposure and here's your total fees. And I'm just look at your portfolio. If the performance of your portfolio over the last 2 months does not prove what we've been talking about over the last 3 years on the radio and over the last 7 years and what we're doing, I mean, you've got all the evidence right in front of you. Right? That's got to add some credibility to what we're talking about. And especially with a lot of these investors, I'm sitting there, you know, they got 40% stocks, 60% bonds. They're like, Zach, you know, we got plenty of money. I'd be happy with 5%. The fact that they're paying somebody that much in fees and they're that exposed to risk, it's insane. There's a better way to do things. So anyway, I kind of jumped to the close here early. We got to get rolling. But as far as market update goes, I want to make sure we got all of this. We talked about vol. The race to trash, another thing that looks like a bear market rally, it's the Netflixes of the world. It's the things that have absolutely no fundamental reason to be trading where they are. It's, again, that Pavlovian response from investors. We want to buy what we wished we had bought 5 years ago. Right? We call it the rush for trash. These are, just be careful, guys. It's not all lights green. In my opinion, and I've been wrong before, could be again. And this could take months to play out. If we think back to 2008, 2009, everybody thinks of Lehman failing. That downturn started in 2007. That took nearly, you know, just shy of 2 years to play out. Right? But usually by the time investors realize that they need to get more defensive is when they're already down 30 or 35%. And so I'm not asking you to panic. What I'm asking you to do is look at your performance. Look at what's happened over the last year. Focus, especially what's happened in the last 2 months of 2018, and you'll see exactly what we've been talking about. And if you think bonds are going to be your protection, I got a bridge to sell you. They're not. The problem is debt. And when the problem is debt, you do not get defense by buying debt. Not to mention the fact that you're not even making more than the inflation rate. If your advisor, and again, like I've said before, the vast majority of advisors out there are honest, good people. They just don't know enough. And if they were being truthful and if they did their research, they'd sit there and go, you know what, honestly, rather than paying me 1.5% to manage this bond portfolio that's not even making as much as the inflation rate, you'd be better off putting that money in a high-yield CD that can't lose. You might only make 2.4%, but go look at the returns on your bond portfolio over the last five years. You haven't made 2.4% net of fees, that I can guarantee you. And remember, we're at the beginning of a rate hiking cycle. So anyway, just use this opportunity as a way to look at what is my risk. 20% portfolio, financial advisor excuse me, 60-40 portfolio, financial advisor tells me in a 20% pullback, I should only be down somewhere between 9 to 10%. My guess is, based on all the averages we're looking at, you're probably down somewhere more like 13.5 to 14.5%. It's not working. It hasn't worked for 10 years. You got to wake up. The world has changed. All right, anyway, that's it for the market update. I rambled on, as always, surprise, surprise. Stick with us, though. And again, guys, you don't have to. Calling us is not locking yourself into a sales process. Just educate yourself. And if you go to somebody else to do it, that's fine. Truthfully, we are one of the good guys. I just want to get the message out. And if nothing else comes of our show, to protect investors and get them better returns with taking less risk. If that's the outcome, great. If they do it through us, obviously we'd love that. But if not, great. You know, maybe we run into each other on the street sometime 10 years from now and they go, hey, that advice you gave us saved us a lot of money. Thank you. Hey, that's gold. But anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You know the rest. Sign up for the free newsletter. Follow us on Twitter at KYR Radio. Anyway, we got to get going. We'll be right back, though. We got to talk about the China trade agreement with Trump. Got to talk about new updates that look really nasty in the Chinese economy. New updates in our economy that look really nasty. We've got a ton coming up. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Many people with near or over $1 million in assets will mistakenly pay more in taxes in a long-term care situation than it would have cost them to set up an insurance plan to pay for the care needed. Due to recent changes in the Pension Protection Act, these new asset-based plans guarantee a tax-free benefit for long-term care and pay you back with interest if you never use it. But most importantly, it's about having a plan. All your children have to do is carry out your wishes, and you're not a burden on them. That's why I love the advice we got from Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. Brian's asset-based class is coming up Monday, January 28th in Bellevue. This class is aimed at individuals and couples who have accumulated close to or more than $1 million in assets and may be considering to self-fund long-term care costs in the future. Learn why that's not the best idea. Seating will be limited for this special asset-based class, January 28th in Bellevue. Reserve your spot right now, 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. So why risk it? Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer of Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Call now and get our brand new version of Common Sense Investing. It's our complimentary booklet that shows you how you can protect your retirement portfolio against loss, but still participate in market gains. Safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. Our clients have increased their returns while being insured against loss. And like our client Dory Monson says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning.
I am indeed a client, Zach, and I got to tell you, you have to read Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back. And we're going to get right to it. As always, spent a little too much time in the opening segment, so I've got to get through this stuff. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about, what we're watching right now, one of the big things, obviously, probably on your mind as well, is the trade agreements with China, the Trump trade agreements. Now, despite our outlook, if we get any kind of trade agreement or trade settlement, this market's going to rip to the upside. Okay, it's going to be what happens. I don't think it'll be that long-lived, because I don't really think this whole idea that the media said, first of all, you've got to realize something. Everything you hear in the media, now you know this as it relates to politics, okay? But everything you hear in the media as it relates to finance should be met with the same level of skepticism, regardless of what expert they have on. It should be met with the same amount of skepticism that you treat political commentary that you get from the mainstream media. And one of the reasons for that is the guys in finance aren't, as dishonest as Paul. Well, yeah, that might be a stretch. Anyway, a lot of it's not purposeful. I listened to, and here's an illustration of it. Okay, so Tesla, you guys know my thoughts on Tesla. The thing is a dumpster fire. And I know the great fourth quarter, third quarter earnings, whatever. Just okay. They basically condensed 2 years of Model 3 sales into one quarter. It's short-lived. The company's in trouble. I don't care what the stock says. Just it's whatever. Anyway, though, the head of BlackRock, which if you don't know BlackRock, they're the largest asset manager in the world, manage over $1 trillion. The head, the president of the company, was at a investment seminar recently and got up and said, look, I think that I think Tesla is an incredible company. I think they're the leaders in autonomous driving. And one of the things that people really miss is they're not a car company. They're a battery company. They're pioneers in energy storage. And that's the real story. And look, whether you like Tesla or not, this gives us a really good insight to the way that these guys that are on the TV telling you to buy stocks, giving you investment advice, it's really good insight to the way they think. Because let's look at the facts. Okay, just the facts. Let's take out my opinions about what's going to happen with Tesla stock. Because remember, this is something that everybody forgets about investing. We say it, but you watch it play with people's emotions, or you watch it affect what people says. We have to take the emotion out of it. Whether you like Tesla cars or you like Elon Musk or whatever it is, it has no bearing on whether or not you think it's a good investment. None. So the head of BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, should be the smartest finance guy in the room, right? Number one, I'm forgetting the name of it, but one of the leading tech review companies, magazines, did a special on autonomous driving. And they had the top 19 leaders in autonomous driving. And these guys have been at the forefront of this. They're all over, right? Do you know where Tesla ranked in the top 19? Number 19. Okay, number 19. Right? He literally picked that up off of a news story or off of a chat room or whatever. Who knows? He didn't research it. He just says it. Oh, now's a good time to buy stocks. Tesla's the leader of autonomy. I just say whatever I want. And why does he feel, what? Because he's probably making $40 million a year regardless of what happens. Off fees, right? He's not paid for performance. And how did he become the president of BlackRock? He's a bureaucrat. How anybody else climbs to the top of a corporate structure, it's not because he's some brilliant investment mind. Because if you listen to what the brilliant investment minds say, now they don't get go on, you don't hear them on TV nearly as much. Why not? Because they're busy managing money. Right? They're actually doing the work. They're not promoters. They're not salesmen, which is essentially what these CEOs of these finance companies are. They're not actually looking at balance sheets and researching anything. Now, then we go to his next claim. They're a battery company. That's interesting. Do you know that Tesla doesn't make batteries? You aware of that? They buy the battery cells from Panasonic. Panasonic makes the batteries. Tesla just assembles them into their packets. There's no IP there. There's no intellectual property. There's no patents. There's nothing. They're repackaging Panasonic goods that they buy from Panasonic. Now, that doesn't mean that he's wrong about Tesla stock. It just means he's completely uninformed and he's a dolt. He's a windbag. He's a charlatan. Again, remember we warned you about charlatans. Every point he just made to back up Tesla stock is inaccurate. And it's not my opinion. That's just the facts. And the reason that we're bringing this up is to get you to remember that all the things that we're hearing in mainstream media, you gotta approach them with the same level of skepticism you do on the political side. And that ties right into the Trump trade agreements, right? Everybody's telling, well, look, and that's why I said the markets are going to rip, because the narrative machine that is modern media, the narrative right now is that, oh, look what's happening. Trump's ruining the economy. This slowdown, this stock market, it might have had a little bit to do with the uncertainty over the trade agreement, but it's got nothing to do with it. Do you know why the market's going down? Because economic indicators are coming down and a lot of big key earnings reports came in light. And those earnings were covered in the fourth quarter of last year. They were barely impacted by the tariffs, if at all. Because remember, U.S. corporations that are missing their earnings, outside of a couple, you know, China didn't. Look at Apple. Apple came out and they had to negatively guide down their earnings twice. And they didn't cite the tariffs as the problem. They cited a slowdown in the Chinese economy. They said tariffs might be an ancillary thing, but they said it wasn't it. It was a slowdown in the Chinese economy. So don't get stuck in the trap of thinking as soon as this trade agreement's resolved that, it's back to the races, baby. This, what you're seeing here right now has very little, if anything, to do with the trade agreement. Now, the interesting thing I think about the trade agreement is the mechanics of it. What's going to happen? Trying to handicap it, trying to figure out what's going on. And that is really interesting to me. And I was having a conversation with somebody that works for us today about this. And in the negotiations, right, trying to look at both things, it's clear that Trump holds more cards. Okay, this whole ridiculous narrative out there that China's the next superpower and China's coming up, and it's all nonsense. They got a lot of people, right, and I understand that, and eventually they might be, you know, in total GDP they might eclipse, but many a slip betwixt the cup and the lip, as my grandfather used to say. There's a lot of work to be done. And right now, they are an absolute house of cards. They're a government version of Tesla, really. If we could expand Tesla out to an entire government, that would aptly describe the Chinese government and the Chinese economy, more importantly. And in that light, the interesting thing about it is that I think China's got more time. Remember, Trump is... got an all-out media siege going against him. He's just had a nasty month in the markets, month and a half or so. He's got economic indicators turning down, and he's got an election in, 18 months now, 17 months, something like that? Right? Well, the Chinese aren't stupid. Remember, the guy he's negotiating against, Xi Jinping, in the last year and a half or so, got appointed basically chairman of life. Now, the interesting thing I think about that is that now he will only be the second ruler or second leader of China to ever have a lifetime appointment. Do you know who the other one was? Mao Zedong. Yeah, a real capitalist society they are, right? They're really opening things up to free trade. Those Chinese, and I'm not speaking about Chinese Americans, there is nothing racial about this. The shame of all of this is that the vast majority of the Chinese people are hardworking, industrious people. I just can't stand their government. Funny enough, most of them can't either. They just can't say that, or they get hauled out of their house at 2 a.m. and stuck in one of these concentration camps that they got over there. Anyway, he's appointed for life. So he's got more time. At least that's what I think he's telling himself. Now, Trump's got the leverage because they need access to our economy much more than they do theirs. The one thing I'm saying is that this could take a lot longer to play out than I think most people think. Now, at the same time, China's in trouble, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment, and I want to get into some of the reasons that China's in trouble. So that's kind of the wild card. And the thing I think is interesting is that in retaliation to these tariffs, the PBOC, the People's Bank of China, has been pumping like crazy trying to stimulate things, and their economy's not responding, and the world economy's not responding. That hasn't happened for 20 years. So it's too early to tell. But that breaking point in this central bank-driven economy, at least as it relates to China, and we're seeing signs of that in the European Union as well right now, but it's starting to begin to look like these central bankers are pushing on a string. That they've pushed this excessive monetary policy too far, and that too much debt has been stacked up, and that even if they make debt cheaper, nobody can take on anymore. And when I say we've got record debt, we're going to get into that in the next segment. We're going to start breaking some of that down, both Chinese debt and here in the United States, because some figures came out in both economies that look scary. And remember, everybody watches the stock market. If you want to know where things are going, watch the debt markets. They're the lifeblood for economies, especially debt-reliant economies, which unfortunately the whole world is now. And if you understand these things, if you're getting what we're talking about, if you're worried about the storm clouds on the horizon, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. We are a far cry from where you're going to get anywhere else. And I'll tell you this. If you don't subscribe to what we're saying and our philosophy on things, the good news is you got a lot of places to go to because they all do exactly the same thing. You want to go buy into the whole 60-40 bond portfolio, blah, 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 whatever. You just ignore the last 20 years of results. You ignore the results there at the end of last year. You just roll with it. You can get anywhere. They're all using the exact same portfolio. They're all using the same, you know, financial planning software. It's all the same thing. It's just repackaged. But if you see that a change needs to take place, if you see that your portfolio isn't behaving the way that your financial advisor told you it would, if you look at the last 15 years and go, wait a second, my net returns haven't been anywhere close to where you said they'd be. And they, well, there's a financial collapse in there too. You know, you can't account for that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If there's an event like the great financial crisis that turns your retirement upside down, guess what? You didn't have a good plan. Your retirement only happens once. It's got to be dead on. And if you want to make sure it is, if you just want a second opinion, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to Bulwark Capital Management's website. You can go Google me. You can go to the Twitter page at KYR Radio. You can go to knowyourriskradio.com. You can go get the white paper that Roger Ibbotson wrote about, is fixed indexed annuities, if they're the correct ones, being a wonderful bond replacement. You can sign up for the free newsletter. But you can also give us a call. You can also email us. Maybe you want to do the correspondence over email. Just say, hey, Zach, what are you guys talking about? Can I see something? Hey, do it. We really want to be a source of information. That's why we're on the radio show. So anyway, we got to run. We'll be right back. Talk about some of these nasty debt figures and some of the troubling signs we see in the economy. Don't go anywhere. Stick with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with my financial advisor, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. And Zach, what I love about you guys is your focus on risk management.
Well, Dory, we're a fiduciary and a holistic retirement planning firm. Our goals are simple. Get our clients the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
I know they're normally used for safety, but how risky are bonds right now?
If a significant portion of your retirement portfolio is in cash or bonds, that just doesn't work in this low interest rate environment on the verge of inflation. You need a bond replacement strategy.
I gotta tell you, you have to read it. Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn that bond replacement strategy, learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, we are back, and thank you for sticking with us and want to get right into it. You know, one of these days, I'm going to adhere to this whole segment deal, Darren. We're going to do it. It's going to happen one day. I don't know when, but it'll happen. Anyway, let's get right into it. Okay, so what are the economic indicators that we've seen come out? Because, again, remember, this isn't about, I think markets are going up, I think markets are going down. Don't ever do that, right? You want backups for your backups. When we think that things look really ugly, what it means is we reduce exposure. We don't eliminate it. We're not trying to time it. We're not trying to profit off moving back and forth. But if we see storm clouds gathering, now to be fair, I've been saying that over the last 2.5 years, but I've not told you to cut equity exposure. Now I'm telling you that paring back at this point is good. And I am not talking about the next 6 months. Okay, we're talking about, remember in investing, we're always talking about 3 to 5 year horizons at the least. Okay, so now Chinese economy, why is it important? First of all, it is important because it is the second largest economy in the world. And it is by far the largest quasi-developed economy. It's still emerging, but I'd say it's quasi-developed economy. It is by far the largest in terms of people, right? It's second only to India, not second by a lot. Okay. The other reason is we all know that we've had a very challenged economic growth environment for the past 10 years. Now, think about this. In the last 10 years, China has made up 50% of global growth. Now, I've talked about this on the show before, but I want to set the backstop. Okay. Now, first news out of China is that new car sales in China just hit a 20-year low. That's significant because that's a great indicator of the economy. And the reason it's even a better indicator of the economy than here in the U.S., and here's why. The whole growth story in China's economy is all about going from a production or a manufacturing-based society over to a consumer-based society to be more like the United States, okay? And what that means is you have people coming out of abject poverty into the middle class. One of the first things people do, think back to the 50s, you make the middle class, what do? You get the house and the car, right? So that's a very troubling sign. And the reason the 20-year indicator is kind of scary to us is that that's the length of time that China has been running this new experience. We're about 25 years in. And they have not had a recession in 25 years. Now, let me just give you something. A law of finance is the longer you go without a recession, the worse it will be. Because, and it's anecdotal, right? But the reason for it is that recessions clean out the junk. And again, this is nothing new if you've heard the show. But recessions reveal the Bernie Madoffs of the world, right? Because there's a scramble for cash and you find out what's a real asset and you find out what isn't. The longer you go without a recession, the worse it will be when it gets there. Okay? It's just a law of gravity. And there is no exception to that law either. Okay? Now, I'm not saying this is definitively the end, but what I'm saying, these are things that we're looking for and they're all lining up. So, the other thing about it is look at the drop in oil prices. Right? Right around $50 a barrel. Thought we had the big oil comeback on the roll. Well, China has made up 40% of the world's commodity demand over the last 10 years. Right? So we got slowing commodity demand. We got worse car sales in 20 years. That's not very good. Here's another thing. Remember we're telling you how indebted China is? I think this was really, I might have talked about this on the last show. I don't think I did, but this was a data point that was released at some point in the last 2 weeks. And last year, the Chinese economy, it's loaded up with debt, right? We've talked about that. The debt servicing costs, so just the interest payments on Chinese non-financial debt. Now, what that means, non-financial, means it's not bank generated or it's not, you got these financial institutions that are loaning to corporations. Stuff. It's not looking at the debt on a bank's balance sheet per se. It's looking at the debt in the economy. So house loans, it's not looking at margin debt on securities, looking at house loans, car loans, credit cards, things like that, right? Just the debt servicing costs on Chinese debt that's non-financial was $3 trillion last year. That is 22% of the size of their entire economy. Okay, could they get to 28 or 30? Sure. I don't know what the maximum is. What I'm telling you, though, that is completely uneconomically sustainable, especially since their economic growth has come down from 13% a year to 5%. And that, remember, that's stated. I don't think that they're actually growing at 5%. I think that that's kind of a running joke in the world of economics because they're not growing at 5%. We can tell by commodity consumption. Again, if you've got the lowest car sales in 20 years, you're not growing at 5% or 5.8% or whatever they've got them at. Okay, now that's the numbers that the Chinese release or the Chinese government releases, I should say, or the PBOC. But that's troublesome. The other thing that's troublesome about them is that, like I said, the growth is falling at the same time. So you could make an argument, if you're growing the economy at 8 to 12% a year, you could make the argument that the growth can backfill those holes. But growth is decelerating at the same time. And like I said earlier, the other concerning things to us is the PBOC is pumping and it looks like they're pushing on a string. Nothing's responding to it. Okay, this is something we need to watch because the whole world is exposed to China, whether they know it or not. China, to me, in the global economy right now, is sort of like what real estate was in 2007. I'm not saying it's going under. I'm not saying that it's on the precipice of blowing up. What I'm saying is there's some very unhealthy signs, things we haven't seen in the last 25 years emerging out of China. There's trade tensions. There's all these political tensions. There's military aspects. All these things are coming to a head at the same time. And what that means is you've slowed down the flow of capital into the Chinese economy, which, again, remember, when you have a debt-reliant economy like that, the inflows of capital are absolutely necessary. Think of it as like a Ponzi scheme. The only way you can keep a debt-reliant economy like that, a debt supernova, which they've got, is if you have fresh flows of capital to service that debt and continue to expand the monetary base. If you slow down that flow of capital into the country, which is clearly happening, that's undebatable, you got problems. Now let's switch over here to the United States. Let's take a look at this. What are the biggest issues I see in the United States? Ironically, it's not in the stock market. Now, the stock market will be affected, but it's not in the stock market. Where's it at? It's in the bond market. This just came out. So I've said we have record levels of corporate debt. What does that look like? Okay, so right now, investment grade bonds, and I should have the number written down, I'm blanking it out. Investment grade bonds now have risen to right around, pardon me for not being 100% accurate on this, are right around $9.5 to $10 trillion, which equals 48. They're at 48% of the size of our economy. Okay, the amount of corporate debt out there is 48% the size of our entire economy. Okay, corporate debt. It has never been this high. Not in 2007, not in 1929, not in 2000. It has never been this high, and by a significant margin. Okay. The other concerning thing about that is that a record 50% of that debt, 50% of that corporate debt is rated triple B, which is the lowest rating on the credit scale to still be considered investment grade. So you've got the biggest pile of corporate debt in relation to the size of our economy in history. And that pile of corporate debt also happens to be of the lowest credit quality in U.S. history. And where are rates going? They're going up, which means that all those corporations that are barely holding on to that investment grade status, their borrowing costs are about to go up. What does that mean? It means they're going to fold like a house of cards. Again, I'm not putting a time frame. I'm just talking about inevitabilities. All right. And the thing that scares us is that we're seeing this conflagration. We're seeing this gathering storm. We're seeing all these things come to the head at the same time. And we've referenced this several times on the show, too. The other thing we're seeing is several different parts of the yield curve inverting. We've seen U.S. home sales. Numbers came out today. U.S. home sales are down 19% year over year. Auto sales are well off the highs. Consumer debt just reached a new record. It ain't good. It ain't good, guys. Then, to top it off, we look over at Europe. Europe looks even worse. It looks like Germany, the number one economy in the Eurozone, just may have just slipped into recession. Again, we won't know. No false alarms here. Just trying to give you the facts. The other thing we're watching is that the largest, most powerful bank in the Eurozone, Deutsche Bank, is down to $8 a share. Now, you heard it here first. Deutsche Bank, as it exists right now. Now, remember, this is the largest bank in Europe. Over $60 trillion of derivative exposure. Think about that. Three times the size of the U.S. economy, they've gotten derivatives exposure. Deutsche Bank, as it exists today, will not be in its form in 3 to 5 years from now. It's either going to get bought up and become a state-owned enterprise by the German government or by the EU, or they're going to merge it with Commerce Bank. That's one of the other things they're dealing with. I don't know how that can possibly stymie the blood flow, though, coming out of Deutsche Bank, because there's no bank in the world that's well capitalized enough to backstop a $60 trillion derivatives exposure. It's insanity. So all these things are coming to a head at the time. Now we've got all the political unrest. You guys know all the stuff that's going on in that part of the world. But unlike other scares we've had in the past, it's not just a drop in stock markets, right? It's central banks now, quantitative tightening rather than easing, which means less liquidity out there in the world, right? We're already seeing disappointing earnings numbers come in. We're seeing the growth engine of the global economy, the Chinese economy, faltering. Right? We're not trying to predict the outcome, but it is clearly faltering. That is outside of debate. That's not debatable. We're seeing the key economy in the Eurozone look like it's tipping into recession, which is backed up by the ISM and PMI numbers, which are manufacturing numbers. And remember, the Eurozone is still at 0% interest rates. They got nowhere else to go. There's no other stimulus they can pump. We've talked about corporate bond rates and how ridiculous they are. There's no other, they're definitely pushing on a string. There's nothing else they can do. And here's the beauty of what we're doing, guys. If we're wrong, if I am an alarmist, you're still going to do better. Because no matter how you cut it, bonds aren't like stocks. They can't rally 30% over the next 3 years, despite what anybody thinks. It's not the way it works. So if we can replace that, that bond portfolio with our bond replacement, which is insured against loss, has no fees, no management fees paid to us or the insurance company, no upfront fees, no back end fees. If we can replace it with something that gets 50 to 60% upside of the stock market, but is insured against loss when the market goes down, that allows us to pull back exposure on your stock side, greatly lower your risk exposure, cut your fees in half or more, and be way safer all at the same time. It really is that simple. There's just a better way to do it. And remember, you know I'm not a charlatan. We don't get everything perfect, but what did we warn you about? The volatility blow up last year happened. We were saying 3.5 months ago, 4 months ago, 4.5 months, would it get out of tech? It happened. And again, we're not soothsayers. Just when you're watching and researching this stuff all the time, you see these developments. The other thing you know is that you know when all this craziness is going on that you got to really pay attention, because this is when bad stuff happens. And we're not selling fear. What we're selling is opportunity. We're sitting here telling you that if we're wrong and we're on the verge of an American breakout, great. You're going to make way more. You just got to rethink things. And like Bill Fleckenstein, you know, if you don't trust me, listen to the guy that used to manage Bill Gates' money and runs his own hedge fund and been on CNBC and has an incredible performance track record over a 30-year period of time, had amazing calls, wrote a book about the coming real estate collapse, and it was released in January of 2008. Okay, so the guy's got some serious credibility, and he said on our show, this isn't your parents' stock market. You need to be very vigilant and very careful, and he also said bonds won't save you. They are not defense. This is a mirage of the last 35 years that is getting blown up right in front of your face. And the reason your financial advisor isn't changing is because he doesn't know what to do. Ever since he started in the industry, he was given a model, and that's what he sells. It's not his fault. He's probably a great guy. But this is not the time to be exposed to somebody else's ignorance. You got to be more proactive. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. We can meet with you in person, do a portfolio review. We can do a portfolio review over the phone. You can email with us if you don't like talking on the phone. You can go to the website, Bulwark Capital Management, look at some of the videos and information we got on there. Sign up for the new newsletter. You can watch our Twitter feed at KYR Radio. You guys know how to get a hold of us by now. You're probably tired of listening to me drone on and on about it. But seriously, I'm telling you, what we've been talking about for 2 years, 3 years now almost on the radio, it's happening. It's happening right in front of us. And it's probably going to take a long time to play out. But this is not the time to press bets, people. This is the time to get a portfolio that lowers your expenses, has you way less exposed to risk, but gives you more upside if we're all wrong. Because that's one of our credos at our firm. Your portfolio has to work whether we're right or wrong. Can't say that about your existing portfolio. Anyway, that's it. We've run out of time. Got to wrap it up. We need a new 2-hour show, Darren. We got to get 2 hours. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week. And in the meantime, know your risk and give us a call. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.